already met last night, Elder Wilson, and heard about who he is, but he is the president of the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventists around the world. And Elder Ted Wilson has an extensive training and interest in blended ministry. He has an MPH in public health, as well as a PhD in religious studies from someone at universities and some other training there. But the important thing that I think we need to focus on now is his passion to see us, this church, really reach out with comprehensive health ministries in a blended way. I don't think, I haven't lived that many decades, but the decades I have lived, I haven't seen leaders in the church with such a vision at the top of the leadership as Dr. and Elder Wilson have in really bringing this to the church in such a strong emphasis. And we're thrilled to have his leadership in really bringing health ministries as the right arm to the forefront for such a time as this. So we're delighted to have him here. And at this time, we pray God will use him once again. Let us welcome him to share the message with us today.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Katia. And it's a great privilege to work with Katia. And she's a very dynamic person, and we appreciate her great love for the health message and for Jesus. I want to express, again, great appreciation to the three divisions, the Euro-Asia Division, Inter-European Division, and the Trans-European Division, for the very creative way in which they have organized this particular conference. And in particular, Viriato and Nadia and Steve very much appreciate the way they and their team have worked together. Valerie also has been so instrumental in helping to care for details, as are many others, and we appreciate that so very much. This particular conference is focusing on healing. And my particular assignment has been focused on the Seventh-day Adventist Church as an organization that is waiting for the Lord's appearing, the second coming of Christ, a healing community. You know, Katia mentioned that I have a great enthusiasm for this particular subject of health. And sometimes, you know, people might say, well, you know, why are these people so passionate about things? Why is it that they have such deep interest in this? And in reality, as we have learned this morning and throughout the conference, as you have been seated and listening and in workshops, you see the integrated approach of health with spirituality. It is absolutely inseparable. So Seventh-day Adventists as a healing community are waiting for Jesus' return. But in reality, we're not only waiting, we are working as well. In fact, that's what God asks for all of us to do. Working in this precious area of health, God's great right arm, as I mentioned last evening. God is wanting to use health professionals and every member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church to bear witness to the world about the power that he has to restore his image in each of us, his righteousness, his justification and sanctification, preparing us for eternity with him. God plans for his creatures now and for eternity to have complete health. Eventually, God will restore us to perfection. But even here on this earth, God asks us to have good health. And as governments around the world and as health professionals debate how best to deliver health care, we know that God actually has the best health care plan available anywhere. And in fact, the ultimate plan is to restore all of us physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually through his power. He calls for us to share this and to tell the world through loving kindness and interaction, pointing people to the one who can bring abundant life and happiness. As Seventh-day Adventists, a healing community waiting for Jesus' return, we believe in the whole person concept, in ministering to those around us in a very comprehensive way. Our magnificent Creator, who created us in his image on a literal sixth day of a creation week recently, wants us to be in the best of health and to prosper in all that we do, serving others in a loving and caring ministry, following the example of Jesus as indicated in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And actually that was read to us this morning in our devotional. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching, healing, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and were like scattered sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." This ministry of Christ's is to be our ministry as well. Jesus went to the cities and villages. Did you catch that in that beautiful quotation from Matthew 9? I appeal to you here at this European Health Conference to go in a determined way into the cities of Europe. Now, you have many cities, many beautiful cities. Prague is one of them. And yet there are many people who know nothing about that life-giving connection with Jesus. In fact, the cities are becoming more and more populated. About 3 or 4 years ago, we passed the mark where more people live in urban areas than in rural areas. In probably about 20, 25 years, if the Lord doesn't come, and I believe he will be coming soon, the percentage will be about 70% of the world's population in metropolitan areas. Now, we have some counsel from the Spirit of Prophecy in medical ministry about the great initiative that the church is embarked on in mission to the cities. It's found in medical ministry page 304. I urge you to read that beautiful book, Medical Ministry. It's not just for physicians, it's not just for health professionals, it's for everyone participating in comprehensive health ministry. On that page, 304, it tells us the following. There is no change in the messages that God has sent in the past. The work in the cities is the essential work for this time. Now, if that was written about 100 years ago, can you imagine how important it is for today? There is no work that is more important. It is essential work for this time. Then that beautiful summation. When the cities are worked as God would have them, now that's the key. When the cities are worked as God would have them, the result will be the setting in operation of a mighty movement such as we have not yet witnessed. We haven't witnessed that mighty movement. By God's grace, let us earnestly humble ourselves. Let us pray. Let us seek God's face. Let us turn our own personal thoughts towards God's direction so that we can see this mighty movement take place. In following Christ's work for the cities, where possible, we are to use, as the Spirit of Prophecy indicates, an in and an out approach. And here it is as follows. This is something that every church member can use as they utilize the resources that God has provided within the church. In every city, Seventh-day Adventists should minister to people not only from their local church, which is a great center within a city, but also in health centers, in centers of influence such as health clinics, vegetarian restaurants, reading rooms, counseling centers, community service centers. God asks us to use the following ways in which to reach people. You see, it's all about touching the lives of people. That's what God is asking for us to do in relation to the way that He worked as well. Using health lectures, literature evangelism, small group outreach, door-to-door mission work, innovative media evangelism, social work that follows Christ's methods of approach, the comprehensive health ministry, small group Bible studies, public evangelism, and many other creative ways that God will help you to develop as you approach the cities through the Holy Spirit's power. Now, this work would also involve heavy lay participation, working closely with denominational ministries such as clinics and medical centers and Adventist Community Services, ADRA, and Adventist World Radio, Hope Channel, book centers, all of these things working together. We need pastors and health professionals and church members working together in a blended ministry. Now, we can't be prescriptive as to exactly how that will work in every situation. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you know how best that can work in your environment. In fact, the Spirit of Prophecy tells us in particular situations that physicians should become ordained ministers. Of course, that was during a time when there was an effort for those working in sanitariums to be very much involved with the church. But I would dare say that there are a number of situations today where physicians could be ordained ministers and working closely with the church. Listen to this from the Spirit of Prophecy. Every minister of the gospel should be prepared to do practical medical missionary work. Now, this is on the other side as a pastor. The medical missionary work is to be as closely united with the gospel ministry as the arm is united to the body. The reluctance, now this is interesting, the reluctance shown to the promulgations or the promotion of the principles of health reform is caused by an unwillingness to deny self. Now that hits pretty hard in a personal way, because maybe we don't promote things so much because actually we would be touching some of the sensitive areas in our own personal experience. It goes on to say, in our large cities, the medical missionary work must go hand in hand with the gospel ministry. It will open doors for the entrance of truth. You see the kind of exciting and wonderful work you're involved with? Now, in this vital work of soul winning in the large cities, God is calling for us to reinvigorate the use of medical missionary work or comprehensive health ministry. I'm delighted that our team from the General Conference Health Ministries Department is here. Those who are participating and working with you to develop these beautiful approaches. We've been honored to have Dr. Alan Handysides as our Health Ministries Director. He has been in that position for about 15 years, and we salute you for that and appreciate you. But he has indicated to us that he wants to retire, and so at the time of the spring meeting, we have elected a director-elect, Dr. Peter Landless, who is with you also. And I know that as you work with this team, you will find ways in which to accomplish what we are talking about here. But in reality, this comprehensive health ministry, which is being championed by our Health Ministries Department, is a very balanced approach of a united effort of our denominational organizations, self-employed health professionals, many of you, and collaborative supporting ministries. Now, I say collaborative because sometimes We have groups that simply want to go their own way. And that's not the best thing to have. We need to work together in unity. There are many wonderful, fine, supporting ministries. Let's work together in a very collaborative way. Now, the out part, as Ellen White describes it, of the city approach involves outpost centers or small institutes in the countryside just outside the cities where three things can take place. First of all, a place where city workers can go to be refreshed. You know, it's a blessing to be able to be in the country. Don't forget the city, but come out and refresh yourself. So that's the first thing. Secondly, it can be a simple lifestyle health center where people can be brought from the city to learn how best to accomplish things. I was just talking last night with someone from Finland, where they have been helping in a very positive way to encourage people with lifestyle change, and they're looking for a place just outside the city where people can be helped in a very particular way. And thirdly, it can be a place where there is a training center, especially for young people. And I want to tell you, I am so excited with what I am seeing as far as young people all throughout the world, and especially here in Europe. Praise God for young people and for their vision and for their inspiration through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the type of work that we need to see happen in a place like New York City. And as we plan for a great outreach in that world-class city this year, evangelists and others from around the world, from the General Conference and many divisions, are going to be congregating in New York in the month of June, which is next month. In fact, during this year, about 400 public evangelistic activities are going to take place in the metropolitan New York area. God is using so many people, and you wouldn't believe the excitement that is being generated in New York with our church members for this approach, which is a comprehensive approach. Not just public meetings, but all kinds of ongoing activities, such as we have already indicated. But this year, about 400 of those events will take place in New York, in New Jersey, and in Connecticut, the metropolitan area. About 17 million people living in that area. Nancy and I will be privileged to be part of that group. And next month, I will be spending over 3 weeks in New York, preaching 5 nights a week to the people of Lower Manhattan in Greenwich Village. And I want to ask that you pray for, not only for me, but for all those who are going to be participating in this comprehensive outreach. Because Ellen White has indicated that New York should be a symbol as to how the rest of the world should be worked. Many good things have happened in New York, but it has not yet become a symbol. We're hoping, by God's grace, that that mighty movement that we just talked about, that this symbol can begin in a fresh way as we reach out to the great cities of the world. The divisions, the unions, local fields have taken this great burden. And by God's grace, between now and 2015, we are hoping to reach, through God's intervention, 630 of the largest cities in this world. Pray for that mighty movement to begin. God is calling all of you to be part of this blended ministry, this team that will show compassion on those who are weary and scattered and broken in body and spirit, bringing them into a relationship with Christ. Comprehensive health ministry is meeting people's needs in a very practical way, showing the love of Jesus, whether it is, as Dr. Landis mentioned, taking a loaf of bread, which has a lot of religion in it, all the way to very sophisticated activity in some of our largest medical institutions. Listen to what the Spirit of Prophecy says in a letter that was written in 1902. medical missionary work has been presented as the entering wedge of present truth. Now, when it says that, it has been presented, it wasn't presented by Ellen White, it was presented by heaven itself to her. It is by this work that hearts are reached and those once prejudiced are softened and subdued. Those of you who are health professionals know that your kind approach and the presentation we just had talked about being sensitive to people, helping them. You know how that will melt a person's heart. And we can show Christ's love and compassion in turning the local church into a center of life and health, fulfilling the General Conference Health Ministry's goal of making every local church a community health center, a community waiting for Jesus' return, but working hard to have as many people ready for his appearing. Another quotation from Medical Ministry, page 188. The medical missionary work is the right hand and arm to the third angel's message, which must be proclaimed to a fallen world. So when you hear people preaching about the three angels' messages, know that medical missionary work, comprehensive health ministry, is part and parcel of this great proclamation. Revelation 14, proclaiming hope, grace, righteousness, and judgment, all to be presented through God's power and focusing upon Jesus Christ himself. Our message is not a message of legalism. Our message is the righteousness and grace of Jesus Christ. He can provide everything that we need. Comprehensive health ministry and health reform are to play a strong role in the final loud cry. Now, the loud cry is coming soon. We don't yet have it. The Holy Spirit will empower us with this incredible loud cry. I don't know of any other way that we're going to reach the millions of people in the cities and in many of the countries of the 1040 window except that supernatural power from God will come in this loud cry. But listen to what it says in Councils on Diet and Foods, page 75. The health reform is as closely related to the third angel's message as the body, the arm to the body. But the arm cannot take the place of the body. The proclamation of the third angel's message, the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus, is the burden of our work. The message is to be proclaimed with a loud cry and is to go to the whole world. You see, Seventh-day Adventists, and I don't say this in a proud or derogatory way to other churches, but Seventh-day Adventists are the only church proclaiming the third angel's message. And they will proclaim it with a loud cry. Changes, however, need to take place in us and through us to accomplish this heaven-born work. The loud cry is going to be given amidst a storm of persecution. If you think that the future is just a bed of roses for the future, read again the Word of God. But let us fix ourselves completely in the righteousness and power of Christ, for we can accomplish everything through the name of Jesus. But listen to what the Councils on Diet and Foods tells us on page 32, because there is a work that God has to do in us. This is not some legalistic work. This is not pulling your bootstraps up by your own efforts. This is placing yourself completely at the disposal of Jesus, having an intimate relationship with him every day to allow him to work in your life in a powerful way. But listen to what the Councils on Diet and Food says, page 32. God's people are not prepared for the loud cry of the third angel. This particular ministry of the third angel is to go in a powerful and very important way. For you see, comprehensive ministry is to be a practical way in which God can use each of us. It goes on to say here, they are not prepared for the loud cry of the third angel. They have a work to do for themselves, which they should not leave for God to do for them. He has left this work for them to do. It is an individual work. One cannot do it for another. You see, because of the close working relationship between health reform and the third angel's message, there is a work needed in personal health before we will be able to give the proclamation of the third angel's message with power. It is a work that only you and God can do. And I want to encourage all of you here in Europe, be the voice that strongly and lovingly proclaims the clear linkage between biblical truth and our physical well-being. God has given unique light to Seventh-day Adventists regarding a healthy lifestyle, and He has charged us to tell the world. However, you need to be aware, as most of you are, of the challenges when we do this. We need wisdom, not fanaticism, in our presentations about the health message. We heard a very important presentation this morning by Dr. Havlicek regarding this area. Selected Messages, Book 3, page 285. Health reform, wisely treated, will prove an entering wedge where the truth may follow with marked success. But to present health reform unwisely has served to create prejudice with unbelievers, leaving the impression that we are extremists. I want to urge all of you at this conference, when you go home, promote health reform and health principles, but do it in a balanced, careful, middle-of-the-road approach. God will bless you with that. Comprehensive health ministry, the practical presentation of God's health principles, is the answer to postmodernism, the New Age movement, mysticism, pagan philosophies, which are part of the last day deceptions of the devil. Stay close to this holy word. Stay close to the counsels of the spirit of prophecy and a personal prayer connection so that the Holy Spirit can help you to discern between truth and error and how to remain balanced. Please don't fall into the pit on either side of extremism. God is calling for revival and reformation, both physically and spiritually. Participate in Revived by His Word by reading a chapter every day from Scripture. You can read many more if you wish. But we're to realize that comprehensive health ministry will be absolutely instrumental in the last proclamation of the Advent movement. I appeal to you to unite under the power of the Holy Spirit, realizing that the power of a united and blended approach is originating in heaven itself. Medical Ministry, page 12, a beautiful quotation. The influence of the Spirit of God is the very best medicine that can be received by a sick man or woman. Heaven is all health. What a beautiful sentence. Heaven is all health. Under this great theme, let's unite in promoting the health message as the right arm of the everlasting gospel message. Recently, the General Conference established a comprehensive health ministry committee chaired by our wonderful friend who is an experienced evangelist but also has a great interest in this area, Pastor Mark Finley. The co-vice chairs are Dr. Alan Handysides from the Health Ministries Department and Pastor Jerry Page the secretary of our ministerial association for the General Conference. 2 months ago, this past March, a comprehensive health ministry summit took place with the ministerial secretaries from every division and the health ministry's directors from every division in the same room together, talking about the same kinds of things that you have been talking about here. I want to tell you, it was a thrilling experience. By God's grace, we are hoping to model this blended ministry. It's so vital as we approach the final loud cry that signifies Revelation 14. God is calling on us to proclaim as we await his soon return. Christ proclaimed in those last two verses in Matthew 9 that we were reading the potential for the harvest, but the dedicated missionaries were few and far between. God said, pray that the Lord will send laborers into the harvest. As church members, as workers here in Europe, are you willing to push ahead with this great advance regardless of what you may face? Are you willing to follow Christ's call to comprehensive health ministry? How persistent are you in this objective? In the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 1, it indicates that Christ entered Capernaum, and the news went out like wildfire. Immediately, a large crowd gathered at Peter's home, so that it was so full that nobody could even get near the house. In verse 2, it indicates that he preached the word to them. Jesus shared the word of God. I don't care whether you're a health professional, a pastor, a lay member, whatever you are, preach and share the word with people. Not just philosophical niceties, not just interesting cultural anecdotes. Preach or share God's word. It is the living word. Well, according to the Desire of Ages, a sick man approached, and according to scripture, a gentleman who was depressed and dejected, Desire of Ages says his sickness was a result of his own sin. And he was full of remorse. It was a sad case of physical, mental, social, and spiritual disease. He had gone to the religious leaders and asked for some kind of help. Even if it wasn't physical healing, he wanted some encouragement. But they didn't give him any relief and pronounced him incurable. The man was helpless and discouraged. But then he heard about Jesus. People all around us are helpless and in need, and they need to know about the master physician, Jesus. Tell people here in Europe about this life-saving master physician. Let them hear your testimony. Well, this invalid heard that others as sinful and helpless as he had been healed. His friends encouraged him to be carried to Jesus. However, his hope fell greatly when they approached that house of Peter and saw that they couldn't enter. This invalid also was very ashamed of the background that caused his disease. But what he desired most was a relief from the burden of sin. He wanted to see Jesus and receive the assurance of salvation. And so there was no time to lose. His flesh was already decaying. He asked his friends to carry him on his bed, but they got there, and of course the crowd was too big. They tried many times to press their way in. He was so close and yet so far. And then he had a great idea. Let's go to the roof. You can just imagine in your mind's eye those friends taking him to the roof and beginning to pull apart the very structure of the building. Can you imagine, as it says in verse 4 of that chapter, talking about the confusion or the situation where a man came through the roof to the foot of Jesus? Are you willing to go to any extreme to be a health professional, a pastor, a church member who will see Jesus regardless of the cost? And then verse 5 records the wonderful words that the paralytic longed to hear from Jesus as he looked into the eyes of the master physician. Jesus said to him, "Son, your sins are forgiven." The words were like music to his ears. The burden of despair rolled off of his shoulders. He had the peace of forgiveness. And in the book of Desire of Ages, page 268, it says, "In simple faith, he accepted the words of Jesus as the boon of new life. He urged no further request, but lay in blissful silence, too happy for words. The light of heaven irradiated his countenance, and the people looked with awe upon the scene. If nothing else had happened, his burden had been relieved, and he was happy." Remember that as you deal with patients and with others. The self-centered religious leaders in the room exchanged glances at each other, remembering their unsympathetic approach to this poor invalid. In their hearts, they accused Jesus of blasphemy, and they thought they could use this as a pretext for sentencing Christ to death. Jesus fixed his gaze upon them. He knew what they were thinking. And then in verses 9 and 10, he says, "Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Can't you just see that man jumping up from his bed, full of life? Incredible healing that took place, first of all in his heart, and now in his body. This is what comprehensive health ministry is all about. It is a blended ministry of which every one of you is a part. Ministry of Healing, page 144. "We should ever remember that the object of the medical missionary work is to point sin-sick men and women to the man of Calvary, who taketh away the sin of the world. By beholding him, they will be changed." And then it goes on to indicate, by beholding him, they will be changed into his likeness. We are encouraged to encourage the sick and suffering to look to Jesus and live. Comprehensive health ministry is meeting people's needs in a practical way that shows them the love of Jesus. Medical ministry, page 250. "No line is to be drawn between the genuine medical missionary work and the gospel ministry. These two must blend. They are not to stand apart as separate lines of work. They are to be joined in an inseparable union, even as the hand is joined to the body. Christ, the master physician, is coming soon. We are called to humble ourselves before the Lord as we give this message of hope to Europe and to the world. The message found in Revelation 14, a call to lift high before the entire world the special messages about a healthy lifestyle, comprehensive health ministry, which points to Christ, the true medical missionary and the master physician. Christ, our Savior and coming King, says to us and to the world, through us, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The work is closely tied to God's biblical message of truth. It's connected with the incredible sacredness of the seventh-day Sabbath, with the sanctuary message that points to the salvation process, to Christ interceding for us in a literal most holy place in heaven right now. Comprehensive health ministry is closely tied to that loud cry and to Christ's soon coming. Will you go from this conference committed to revival and reformation, to continued study of God's Word, to an investigation and acceptance of the principles of the Spirit of prophecy, also in praying for the latter rain of the Holy Spirit, so that we can accomplish this marvelous task of sharing God's message and seeing our Lord return in the clouds of heaven. Today, if you want to, again, recommit yourself to this great objective, this blended ministry of reaching people in their heart and in their body, if you would like to make that commitment, I know it's a little unusual, perhaps at 11:45, to make a call, but I'd like to ask you, if you would like to make that commitment, would you join me in standing again? Amen. You see, we are a healing community, waiting and working for Jesus. I'd just like to ask you to give a physical demonstration of the blendedness of how we are working together. I'd like for you to join hands with the person next to you. I'd like for us to be united in this great objective. And I'd like for us to sing a song together, which you know and which you can sing in whatever language you feel most comfortable, because it is a beautiful, wonderful song about Jesus soon coming. Seventh-day Adventists, a healing community, waiting for Jesus to come, with hope in their hearts and with a song on their lips to share this precious message with others. I want us to sing, "We Have This Hope." So let's join hands here together and let's sing together that beautiful, beautiful song.
We have this hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts.
Commitment now. Help us to be a community that is not just waiting for your coming, but working for your coming. Through your power, may comprehensive health ministry and the gospel message go hand in hand. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen.